This is URN.
The Culture Show Breakdown.
But really, was it worth it to go to and spend 4 hours in silence contemplating an opera? The opera was called Turning Opera Inside Out at St. Luke's Church in London. Mm-hmm. And basically, the critic that went was asked, they were asked to observe silence for 4 hours, had to have their phones and all their writing materials taken away. But however, they were allowed to use the bathroom, which was
nice.
I thought that was considerate of them to be allowed them to use the bathroom. And there were no chairs; they were just yoga mats. And throughout the course of the evening, first of all, they were given a, I'll say what the plot was. Very easy plot, apparently. They were given a card, and it had the words "sit," full stop, "walk," "sit," "eat," "wash up," "sit," "rest," "wake up," "sit," "play," "walk," "chant," "sit," "breaking the silence." Mm. Now, to most people, that would sound like a complete load of gibberish. But I did a bit more digging, as I felt I needed to truly understand just what this opera was about. And they are supposed to meditate for the next 4 hours on what it is to sit, walk, and eat. I mean, that sounds hard at the best of time, but to help them along, they were given things like they had to contemplate a plum. They had to close their eyes, and they were given a plum, and it actually turned out to be a grape. Now, how you couldn't work out that a grape is not a plum and then they were told to eat rice and wash up the bowls. I mean, you go for enjoyment. You don't go to do manual labour, in my opinion. But it, really, the first question is this an opera at all?
No.
It's not.
See, I think it is.
Oh, but I've got the definition here for an opera. It's an art form, for a start, and I can probably not debate whether that was an art form in St. Luke's, because St. Luke's is a very reputable venue, you know, home of the LSO.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised that it was doing something this far contemporary. But they are good for kind of knowing that. It's an art form in which singers and musicians perform a dramatic work combining text and a musical score. There was text, wasn't there?
There was text, and I must admit, there was a musical score in the sense that they had, I think, in the third hour, someone played the violin, but it wasn't that. I mean, I think they were more, I think the people that were doing it said they wanted to get across the music of silence and the score of silence. Well, frankly, I could sit in my chair in a campsite and I'd probably get the music of silence better than sitting in a room with a load of people.
It's the Robin Hood marathon and half marathon.
That's
like
right.
It's a thing, yeah.
Although, to be fair, when you get to the sort of... Apparently, someone who did run it, who only ran half the marathon, said, it's very interesting, you get to sort of a split in the road where you can either do the full marathon or the half marathon. And he said you got some people that would sort of jog a mile down the full marathon and actually think, actually, I'm not going to do it.
No,
turn around,
they're the smart
jog,
people.
And jog back. But why would he not just go through the barriers and just walk to the finish? He said no, because he wanted to get a medal, so he had to run the mile back and then down the mile for the half marathon, which I thought was a bit confusing. But obviously he came to his senses early on. Better to get sort of rather than get 20 miles out.
With the medal things, the people want those medals, because I was stuck in traffic for ages, would move like nowhere for like half an hour, and there were people just walking past with medals on, like, haha, we've been running the marathon, and we've messed your day up, and God knows, the emergency services, for a start, would be able to get nowhere. The route is a catastrophe. Like, I was near Trent Bridge, and that's where all the starting lines and finish things were, and that is a huge connection to the centre of town. Straight down Castle Boulevard, right down Derby Road. If you've got to go to work, there's no way you're going to go by car or bus. That's the other thing. That made me laugh. That's something that always makes me laugh, is when they've got the marathon going down a bus route, and yet there's still these people, like, hopefully stood on next to the bus stop.
I saw them.
And you're like,
yeah,
you're just expecting the 34 to come ploughing down past and knock all these runners out the way just so you can get to wherever you want to go. But no, it's such a mess.
It was the fact that when I was walking down the towards campus, there were sort of three lanes. I thought it was a swimming pool.
Yeah.
There were three lanes, and one person was going up, another person was going down, and I didn't know which person to cheer for. I was like, well, has he just started or is he ahead of him? I don't want to make the bloke in the left-hand lane feel more inferior because he's not with the bloke in the right-hand lane.
The other fun part about those three lanes is you having to, like, because again, I had to cross the road because of in Dunkirk. You have to, like, sort of navigate around all the people running to, like, climb over, and you're like, oh, sorry. But it's like, yeah, three lanes. How many? Because there was also a mini marathon as well. I don't know what a mini marathon is, but they had a mini marathon. I'll have a look at the numbers there. So I think I could do a mini marathon because I tried doing it.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say that until you know how many miles it is.
Yeah, true. That is true, actually. But I went in for it last year and I did quite a lot of training over the summer. But you just, to do a proper marathon, you have to do a lot of training. I know that's pretty obvious.
Really? But lots of people were walking. I mean, not much training.
Yeah, of course.
There. That's a long drum roll. But moving on, it's time for What's On Not, the new section of the show, which we basically tell you what is happening in and around Nottingham in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So first of all, we've got starting on the 1st of October, and it's just for the entire day. Some of these are free, and I will tell you when you have to pay concession. So strictly age-friendly dancing in the Old Market Hall. I don't understand what they mean by age-friendly. Does that mean that I can go...
No slut drops or anything like that.
Oh, what? Oh, I'm not going to go now.
Well, with some bloody, you know, preteens running around the place, that'd be disgraceful.
Well, I think it's like they do tap dancing, belly dancing, ballet. I don't understand how you could do ballet in the very chilly outside. It's like cobblestones. You need to be flat surface.
Oh, is it cobblestones? Oh, yeah, I don't know how they're doing that.
I know.
It probably won't be on point.
If it is, you'll have St. John's Ambulance there with many broken toes. And so then, coming up on the 3rd of October, we have the start of the... Well, they're ongoing, but they start on the 3rd of October, the Nottingham Ghost Walk, which sounds interesting. Getting in the spirit of Halloween, which my co-presenters have currently told me is the 31st.
Yes.
Yes, and I don't really enjoy...
We can confirm.
I don't really enjoy Halloween.
No.
But
why not?
Why not? Oh, I don't... Because I never got to go trick-or-treating when I was younger.
Oh!
I know.
So I feel like I'm too old to go now.
No.
And it'd be really awkward
if
I go
fine,
now.
Just go.
Just knocking on the door and asking people for candy. No.
I never got sweets when I was a child.
And everyone now gives sugar-free. I mean, I don't want sugar-free. They all... Well, whenever people come and ask us for trick-or-treat, we sort of go... We've got pasta, tinned sweet corn. Are these not what you want? And they just leave. It's very good.
We used to give gingerbread ghoulies.
Now, so you sound like the
really nice.
You sound like the right type of person. You should just go and burgle your own house or trick-or-treat your own house. That's what it is, in a sense. Just sort of saying, give me sweeties.
It's a nice way of mugging, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a nice way of mugging. So they ask first.
Yeah, that's really nice of them.
Yeah,
I'd
but
say.
Then they take anyway. They expect it. I think lots of people expect it.
They do. Well,
and then we have the... If you're fed up of The X Factor or haven't watched The X Factor or just don't like The X Factor, like most people or me, it's not very good this year. There is the Knots Factor, which... the Knots Factor final, I should say, because they've already gone through the group stages and... No, Simon Cowell wasn't there to judge, so do expect the weird, the wonderful, the colourful, and the downright bizarre.
Do we know any of the acts that might be on?
No, they kept that very close to their chest. I looked on their page and they had one person which was a budgie, an act with a budgie, apparently. So whether or not they get the budgie to sing the national anthem or something, I don't know. So that's on the 4th of October. And then if you're more inclined to sit down and drink some more, not that we condone alcohol. We do. We condone excessive alcohol consumption on this show, Joe.
Sorry, I messed that up.
They have the Nottingham Hood Beer and Cider Festival between the 7th and the 10th of October, which I will certainly be going to because they're always very good. There's also Oktoberfest later on in the year. And then there is the last event, which Joe's looking at me and I am going to get wrong.
Yeah.
The Ballamalam...
No.
No. Balamala
Sing Song.
Communal rock sing along at Rescue Rooms on the 12th, I believe. 12th of October, which I'm quite excited for because I don't know what it is. Although the fact it says rock sing alongs, I don't want to lose my voice by just screaming into a microphone. Though I may have judged rock poorly there, but I profess it's not for me. So yes, that is what is coming up in the next couple of weeks.
So a BBC reporter was harassed in the streets of Nottingham while filming a report about street harassment. Reporter Sarah Teal had a sexual comment directed to her by a man walking past. Teal then took it to Twitter to tell all how 95% of women are victims of verbal harassment. Some believe it was staged to add more to the story. The presenter is pleased that people are now talking about this issue and finds all claims on it being staged as nonsense.
So, I do think it was staged.
You do?
Yeah.
Why? Mm.
Just because it's ironic. In a way, that was very ironic.
Yeah.
But what better way than to get the idea of sexual harassment out and about than have the presenter be harassed live on air?
Yeah.
Or it just proves her point more that it really does happen.
Yes. If it does, then it's done that very well, but in a very mean
because
way.
Think about the people who do shout at presenters whilst they're being filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's always this heckling.
That's what I was going to say. So was this sexual harassment? Like, was it a comment
about
her?
I think it was just harassment. I don't really know what was said, because obviously they blanked it out. Mm.
Was it directly, genderfied, if that's the right word?
They said something about an internet meme. That's all they said.
Oh, well,
I think it could be a wolf whistle or...
It wasn't. No, he actually said something.
He actually said
something. Yeah, he said, a long sentence.
That's why Nottingham has such a bad reputation. In a way, it's things like this that drag the city as a whole straight down.
But the thing is,
this harassment, not what it's called, not what Nottingham's called, or the recent things which happen in Nottingham. Just the harassment Nottingham down.
One of the many features, I should say. One of the many features. This is URN,
the Culture Show Breakdown.